Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origine podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Today we've got something really fascinating to dig into.
Yeah, so we're talking about a pretty groundbreaking study from the Journal of Clinical Investigation. It's all about how our bodies respond to severe inflammation, like in sepsis, and honestly, the findings are kind of surprising.
Right, so this research from Nina Martino and her team at Albany Medical College looks at what happens at the cellular level during what's called a cytokine storm. You know, that massive inflammatory response that can shut down multiple organs.
Exactly. And here's what caught my attention. They focused specifically on IL-6, which is the cytokine that basically acts like a warning signal in your body. When doctors see high levels of IL-6 in patients, it's usually a really bad sign.
Yeah, it's actually used as a predictor of mortality in shock patients. Pretty heavy stuff. But what's cool about this study is they discovered that IL-6 doesn't just work through one pathway. It's got these parallel signaling routes doing completely different things.
So let me break this down a bit. The researchers found that in endothelial cells, those are the cells lining your blood vessels, IL-6 triggers what looks like an antiviral response, even when there's no virus involved.
That's wild, right? They call it a type 1 interferon-like response. Normally, you'd see that pattern when your body's fighting off a viral infection, but here it's happening during bacterial sepsis.
And get this, the pathway they discovered involves mitochondria releasing their DNA into the cell. It's like the cell's power plants are sounding an alarm by literally leaking their genetic material,
which then activates these proteins called cGAS and STING. And here's where it gets technical but important. This whole cascade happens independently of the traditional interferon signaling. It's a completely separate alarm system.
Right, so they used these really clever mouse models where they could knock out specific genes in just the endothelial cells. When they removed STING or STAT1, those are key proteins in this pathway, the mice actually did better when challenged with endotoxin.
So that's huge for potential treatments, isn't it? Because if you can target this specific pathway without shutting down the entire immune response, you might be able to reduce organ damage while still letting the body fight the infection.
Exactly. That's been the problem with previous approaches. Like they tried blocking IL-6 or other cytokines directly in sepsis trials, but it didn't really help because you need those signals to fight the infection. This is more surgical, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, surgical is a good way to put it. They're essentially saying, hey, we can dial down the collateral damage without disarming the immune system. And they showed this through multiple approaches. Cell culture, mouse models, even looking at specific organ responses.
What I found really interesting was how they used this technique called TrapSeq. It lets them look at what genes are actively being translated in specific cell types. In this case, endothelial cells in the kidney and brain.
Oh yeah, that's pretty sophisticated. So instead of just seeing what RNA is present, they're seeing what's actually being made into proteins at that exact moment. It's like catching the cell in the act, basically.
And what they found was this massive interferon-like signature in the endothelium during shock. Genes like CXCL10, MX1, these interferon-stimulated genes, all going crazy. But again, no actual interferon being produced.
So they dug deeper into the mechanism, and that's where the mitochondrial DNA release comes in. They showed that IL-6 causes this transient, like temporary, release of mitochondrial DNA into the cytoplasm within just 15 minutes.
15 minutes. That's incredibly fast. And then that DNA activates the cGAS STING pathway, which normally detects viral DNA. But in this case, it's your own mitochondrial DNA being mistaken for a threat.
It's like friendly fire at the cellular level. And they showed this required several transcription factors working together. IRF1, IRF3, IRF4, and STAT1. Take any of those out, and the response is blunted.
Now, they also looked at this protein called SOX3, which normally acts as a brake on IL-6 signaling. When they removed SOX3 from endothelial cells, the mice got way sicker with endotoxin challenge. Faster mortality, more organ damage.
Right, because without that break, you get this runaway inflammatory response. The SOCS3 knockout mice showed even higher levels of these interferon-stimulated genes and more severe kidney and brain damage.
And here's something clinically relevant. They measured CXCL10 levels in the blood, which is one of these inflammatory proteins, and it directly correlated with how sick the mice were. Higher CXCL10, worse outcomes.
So that could potentially be used as a biomarker, right? To identify patients who might benefit from targeting this specific pathway?
Potentially, yeah. Though they'd need to validate that in human studies. But the fact that they showed this in multiple organ systems, kidney, brain, liver, suggests it's a pretty universal endothelial response.
What about the human cell experiments? They did work with cultured human endothelial cells too, right?
Yeah, they used HUVEX. That's umbilical vein endothelial cells, and showed the same basic pathway. IL-6 treatment led to rapid expression of interferon-stimulated genes within 1 to 3 hours, and they confirmed it didn't require interferon receptor signaling.
By using clever experiments like blocking protein synthesis or knocking down the interferon receptor. So it really is this direct, non-canonical pathway from IL-6 to interferon-like genes.
Exactly. And one more really important finding. They showed that STAT3, which they'd previously found controls IL-6's effects on vascular permeability, wasn't needed for this interferon-like response. That was STAT1's job instead.
So that's what they mean by parallel pathways. IL-6 is simultaneously affecting barrier function through STAT3 and triggering this inflammatory gene program through STAT1 and the STING pathway. Two separate responses from one signal.
Right. And from a therapeutic standpoint, that's really exciting because it means you could potentially target one without affecting the other. Like, maybe you want to preserve barrier function, but dial down the inflammatory genes.
Oh, they acknowledge there are limitations. This was an endotoxin model, not actual sepsis with a live infection. They'd need to confirm these findings in more clinically relevant models.
Sure, but it's still a major step forward in understanding the molecular mechanisms. I mean, sepsis kills hundreds of thousands of people every year, and we really don't have great treatments beyond supportive care.
Yeah, the current approach is basically just trying to keep patients alive while their body fights the infection. Blood pressure support, fluids, antibiotics, but nothing that specifically addresses the vascular dysfunction.
And that vascular dysfunction, the leaky blood vessels, the inflammation, the coagulation problems, that's what leads to organ failure. So if you could protect the endothelium specifically, you might prevent that cascade.
The researchers make a good point that previous trials blocking cytokines like IL-6 directly didn't help. Probably because you need those signals for fighting infection. But targeting downstream pathways in the endothelium might give you the best of both worlds.
So where does this go from here? I imagine there's a lot more work to be done.
Oh, definitely. They mentioned needing to test this in actual sepsis models, look at different time points, confirm the findings in human patients, and probably the big one, develop drugs that can specifically target this pathway.
Well, there are already STING inhibitors being developed for other conditions, so maybe those could be repurposed. That's one advantage of identifying a pathway with existing drug targets.
Good point. And STAT1 inhibitors exist too, though you'd have to be careful since STAT1 is important for other immune functions. It's all about finding that balance.
This study really highlights how complex these inflammatory responses are. It's not just one cytokine doing one thing. It's this whole network of signals and pathways that can go wrong in different ways.
And the fact that they could tease apart these different pathways using genetic knockouts and specific inhibitors, that's pretty impressive experimental work. You can tell they really thought through each step.
For sure. All right, so to wrap this up, the main takeaway is that IL-6 drives this interferon-like response in endothelial cells through a non-canonical pathway involving mitochondrial DNA release, CGAS-Ting signaling, and STAT1, and this contributes to organ damage in shock.
And importantly, this pathway is separate from IL-6's effects on vascular permeability, which opens up possibilities for more targeted therapies that could reduce inflammation without compromising immune function or barrier integrity.
Really fascinating stuff. Thanks for diving into this one with me, Alex.
Always a pleasure, Jamie. And thanks everyone for listening to the Aurigene podcast. Until next time.